Thanks for tuning in to Sermoncast, the preaching ministry of Christ Church of Amherst. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting our website at ccnh.org.
So, you know, I'm also sitting over there thinking about, again, how the logistics of this is something you don't quite plan for. Let's try putting that there. And I'm thinking about what Dick was saying during the communion time, and I'm thinking, some of this relates to what I'm saying. Some of this is repetitive, and I'm thinking maybe I should just pray and we just go home. But I guess I'm going to share a few things with you. Another disclaimer would be that what I'm sharing, I'm hoping, is an exhortation and maybe a bit of a challenge. And as I did it, as I put it together, I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't want to make it sound like nobody's doing what I'm talking about. So if you think, well, this doesn't really apply to me, I'm already doing this, or, you know, I'm already living this out, then just go on autopilot and pray for me, because it's certainly for me, and pray for others who it might apply to. Imagine with me that we're here on a Sunday morning, like we are today, and we have our prayer time. It's not praying for the persecuted church, but we're praying for our body. And Ralph Paul stands up and says, God has revealed to Cynthia and I that we're going to have another child. And I thought, the reaction to that could be dumb silence, like, you got to be kidding. Squeals of laughter, like we just heard, or Ralph is raving mad. So it could be some of the picks. Then Ralph continues and speaks to announce that Cynthia is pregnant. We would be like, how could this have happened? Well, I mean, those of us who are married, we know how it could have happened, but I mean, you know. And for you who maybe, I don't know if there's any new faces, but Ralph and Cynthia right up here, we'll point them out, are some of our seasoned members of the church. And so it'd be kind of shocking, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And yet, as wild as it sounds, it's nothing compared to the real story from the Bible of Abraham and Sarah, who were even older, if you can imagine it, than Ralph and Cynthia. I'm glad they're laughing. We as believers, have been through a great deal in this church. We have been, I don't know how many times we thought, are we going to be able to pay the mortgage? Or are we, you know, are they going to come and take our building somehow away from us? We've been through some difficult times these last 12 to 14 months, which are certainly getting better, I think. But we're still in process. You know, we had, I'm pretty sure I was thinking about this. Is this somebody just said this to me? Or I think we said this in the elders' meeting, or in the meeting about the budget, but that, you know, there was consideration, should we close the doors? And then there was the question asked, if CCA ceased to exist, would it make an impact in anybody's life? Would anybody in the community really know it? And those things have been challenging to me. So I've been on this little journey, and that's the backdrop for my message this morning, because as it's also been said, I think we're really facing an opportunity-rich environment. It's not my word. That's just a cool phrase. I like that, opportunity-rich. You know, the sky is the limit. There's what God can do is just beyond us. And so the point of my message this morning is believing God for more than we can imagine. And we'll be discussing very quickly, and I am watching the time, what more than we can imagine means. What hinders us from experiencing God in more than we can imagine, and how we might connect our imagination with God's purposes. So that's what I'm going to try to do. The text, if you want to turn in your Bibles, is Ephesians 3:20. And it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that has worked within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That phrase, that scripture, has always challenged my thinking. And so that's what leads us into where we're going. It's always good to look at Scripture, especially when you're going to focus on a small portion of Scripture, to really look at some of the backdrop of it, to look at the Scripture, the verses that come before. And we're not going to read through them, but if you look in chapter 3 of Ephesians, and following down to verse 20, you see that there's an amazing thing that Paul is expounding there. And that is that salvation would come to the Gentiles. Now, if you, you know, I don't know about you, but I remember when Gordon MacDonald was here, and he said, you know, we need to kind of insert ourselves into the story. And so it's very easy to read over that passage in chapter 3, and where it talks about this incredible mystery that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, and just simply kind of glaze over that, because pretty much everybody in this body, I believe, are Gentiles. I don't think we have any Jewish people here. And so we are Gentiles, so we don't think about that. But imagine, if you will, the Jewish people, they were given the promise of a Messiah. They held on to that promise through good and bad. They were looking forward to the promise. They waited for the promise. And finally, Jesus comes, and for those who recognized him as the Messiah and began to follow him, finally that Messiah had come, and the promise had been fulfilled. And now suddenly, these other people that they have been told to keep separate from, that are unclean, that are unholy, they're to be included in that family too. So for us, it might seem like no big deal. Jesus includes us too. Hey, hooray, we're in there, we're glad. But from the context of the Jewish believer, he's like, wait a minute, this is for Israel, this is for us. But Paul is saying no, that God has even broken down this barrier to between Jews and Gentiles. So if we want to look for more examples about how God has done immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, we could turn to Hebrews 11. There's a whole list of people that God blessed and did incredible things through. You can turn there if you want. I'm not going to actually read the scripture. There's the man Enoch, who didn't die. He just suddenly disappeared and was taken into heaven. Nobody had an explanation for that. The parting of the Red Sea. You may have seen, which film is it that has, it's the Ten Commandments that has the parting of the Red Sea in it. You may have seen that. Pretty amazing. Can you imagine, you know, now try to imagine, you know, we see it on film, but imagine in reality, you're standing in front of the Red Sea. You've got the Egyptians. Somebody said that. Thank you. You got the Egyptians coming, and you've got this wall of water in front of you, and suddenly it parts. Okay, that's a little bit more than I might imagine. Looking at it from this side, it seems very easy. Oh, sure, he did the water, but from the other side, it seems a lot harder. The repentance of the that was discussed either last week or the week before. I mean, you know, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he was afraid of just what would happen, or what happened would just happen, that they would repent and God would forgive them. So this evil city, this city that was not any way, no Jewish heritage, nothing, turned to God even, and that was the power of God at work in their lives. Might throw out there Lazarus being raised from the dead. We don't see that happen too much. I'm kind of challenged by Al and some of the stories he shared, that all around the world things are happening that we don't normally think of in our midst here. So what is it? It is God doing miracles, things that are beyond what we could hope or imagine. What hinders us? Well, what's hindering me right now is a dry mouth, but so I'm just going to work through it. First, you know, our culture is built on Western reason. You know, we're a people of logic and science, and even more so in New England. I can't remember how many people told me when I was working in as a loan officer, the people in the company were all like, you know, we're so much more intelligent than those Southerners. Of course, they didn't know I was a Southerner, but, you know, we've got Harvard, we've got MIT, I said, so where did you attend? And it's like, oh, I didn't go to college. So we have this Western mindset of reason, science, logic, which even maybe is more profound here with us in New England. In fact, sometimes when I have shared my faith, I have commended the reasonability and the logic of Scripture as part of my argument, as part of my sharing. And so as I was thinking about this morning, I'm like, well, am I a hypocrite? Well, maybe, but I think there is a logic and reasonability to the Scripture. But if you stop there, you miss a lot of what God is saying and what He has for us. So the second thing that hinders us is our busy schedules. We're so maxed out that we don't have time to believe God for more than we can imagine. And again, maybe this doesn't work for you, but I was thinking about this. It's just, I'm so busy trying to get things done at work, trying to deal with issues at home, and I quickly forget about what God might want to do around me and through me. You know, let's see. I'll pencil in believe God for more than I can imagine at 4:30. Sometimes maybe we are too busy being productive to be truly productive on God's scale. Another thing, I've been challenged by one of Dale's messages, well, I've been challenged by many, I guess, but about being the answer to someone's prayer. Al spoke about that too, very challenging. I just can't imagine where I'd fit into my schedule. So a third hindrance is fear. Now, I don't have much to say on this because, well, I'm fearful to say much about it. But if we were honest with ourselves, we might struggle to believe God for more than we can imagine because where it might lead us. Thinking about this video we just saw. You know, our friends in Namibia could use some full-time help. The people in Brazil, as Al's testified, are ready to be healed and turn to God if someone will just go and pray for them. Our parking lot needs to be paved. Perhaps some of us would sell some of our possessions and lay the proceeds at the elders' feet. All right, now I'm getting uncomfortable. How we might practice believing God for more than we can imagine. And this is really difficult. You know, how do you explain to someone how to imagine biblically? You know, I thought I really, this is something I've wanted to share with different individuals and just share with the church, but I'm at where the rubber meets the road and actually do it, I'm like, well, what do I say? And I still haven't come up with that great of a response, but here we go. First thing, though, I don't want you to confuse this message with an odd excuse for using your imagination to support strange teachings or doctrine. So when I say imagine more from God, don't let it lead you that way. Our spiritual imagination must always be rooted in the truth of God's word. And I'll give an example. So when I was in college, getting to be many years ago now, I lived in a hall in a dorm. It was co-ed, actually. I'll let you dwell on that one. The hall director was a believer, and we had this little prayer group that we had in the dorm. And he had very poor eyesight and wore very thick glasses. And so he decided that if he was going to believe God to heal him, he needed to throw his glasses away. So he did. He broke them, threw the trash, they were gone. And so then for weeks and weeks, he went around, you know, kind of like this, squinting at everything, trying to see because God wasn't healing him. So, you know, we can be, I guess what I'm trying to say with that is we can be a little absurd in what we're trying to imagine for God to do beyond what we can imagine. So perhaps we could approach it this way. A couple of things to do. One, take inventory of what we have been trusting God for. So, you know, sometimes I think about the things I pray about, and they're really minor. You know, they're really not challenging to God. I mean, God created the whole universe. What can I ask God that he couldn't do, right? And yet, my faith is small and I don't ask for much. It reminds me a little bit, I like to read the Percy Jackson books with all the Greek gods and Roman gods. And so you got your big three, and then you got your other nine that make up the 12 and the council. And then you have all these little lesser gods just running around, you know, doing stuff all over the place. And sometimes I think we are prone to treat God as a lesser god than who he really is. We can believe God for incredible things, or we need to believe God for incredible things, and don't grow weary of doing so. You know, what is God's agenda? Are we intentionally and purposefully tied to it? Take a look at your neighborhood. Assuming, and perhaps it's a big assumption, that they are not all followers of Jesus, how might the Lord want to use you in changing that fact? I tell you, I'm thinking about that a lot these days, and it scares me to death. Because I've lived in my neighborhood for 13 years, and I know some of the neighbors. I know some of them. I'm a treasurer in our association. I know the ones that don't give dues on time and things like that. But I've never, except maybe with one of them, I've never made much of an overture to invite them to church or to share Christ with them. And so not only am I coming to the grips with the fact that they need to know God, and I'm sure that most of them don't because I don't see cars leaving on Sunday mornings and coming back at noontime and things like that, but, you know, I have this stigma of now I've lived there for 13 years and not really said much. So how am I going to do with that? But again, is God bigger than that? Can I imagine him accomplishing more than I could ever hope? Remember that sin disconnects and short circuits. So three things: take an inventory, believing God for incredible things, not growing weary. Remember that sin disconnects and short circuits. So keep a short accounts with God and with each other. Again, thinking of our church as a whole and working together as a body, let's keep short accounts with each other. Don't allow sin to restrain your imagination of what God might do in you or through you. And then I will conclude with perhaps a silly thing, but I'm kind of moved by it, so maybe you will be too. Some of you might know the Greek mathematician, philosopher. He was many things. Archimedes. And Either he himself, I'm not sure I was reading about it, I'm not sure if he himself was accredited with this or if it was a pupil of his because of his teaching. But he said, "Give me a place to stand and a lever long enough and I will move the world." So what I'd like to suggest to you this morning in wrapping up and believing God more than we can imagine is that we have a very firm place to stand. It's the rock of Jesus Christ. We have a very long lever, God's Word, or intertwined, you might say, God's Holy Spirit. And so are you ready to believe God for more than you can imagine, and in so doing, move the world? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are a God of great power and might who created the world around us. And Lord, we don't pretend to know your schedule or your agenda other than to go out and make disciples. But help us to believe you for big things rather than continually looking for you for small things. And I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to Sermoncast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. For more podcasts, you can visit ccnh.org. and subscribe to our channel through the Sermoncast link. We'd also invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ Church of Amherst. Until next time, God bless.